I thought my husband was going first, and I was sitting there quite happy, thinking that perhaps when it would come to my time, I would be surplus to requirements. And but it hasn't turned out like that. I met my husband in September 1950, 6 months before the Free Presbyterian Church commenced. He was about to begin, well, a couple of months after we met, he was booked to take a gospel mission in Ballymena, which lasted for 6 weeks. And during those 6 weeks, over 400 people came to Christ. Many of them were the foundation members of our Ballymena congregation. About 20 years later, I think it was about 20 years later, my husband went back for another mission. And again, I think more than 200 people came to Christ at that time. So 400, right. I stand corrected. But those were really wonderful days, and God blessed them. The days of the right hand of God. And you know, it grieves me when people say today, oh, if we'd only those days back again. But you know, God hasn't changed. It's you and I who have changed, and God's people have changed. And we take so many things for granted, and we think that God's just going to do it or leave us alone. But God doesn't leave us alone. We need to get back to God and get back to those days of blessing. But God is blessing. And you mightn't hear the blessing that's going on in other places apart from where you are. But God is blessing, and God is saving souls. And God's work is going on throughout the churches. I can tell you that even today, we had inquiries about a new work in England. And that is a great thrill to us. England is a heathen country today. Very, very much so. In fact, all of Britain, the mainland as we call it, we think Ulster's the mainland, but England, Scotland and Wales really are very, very godless, and people's hearts are very hardened against the gospel. And our ministers on the mainland are having a pretty rough time, and they slog away and dig away and plant and sow, and it takes a long time before they see any reaping of the harvest, because the ground is fallow and it needs an awful lot of ploughing and an awful lot of digging and an awful lot of sowing to bring the word, to bring the work, to get the work going and to see results for that work. So whenever you're praying for your own minister, don't forget to pray for those who are serving the Lord across the water. I think sometimes our English, Scottish and Welsh men are forgotten about in our prayers. They're all right, they're over in England. It's not like being in some other foreign part, but sometimes it's even more difficult than in foreign countries. Well, I kind of went off there on a side issue. But my husband had been invited to take a mission in Crossgar, late February, early March. And of course, I think most people know the story that when he went there to the Presbyterian Church Hall to have that mission, the doors were locked on the orders of the presbytery, the Down Presbytery. And as that was a wonderful mission, hundreds of people were also saved in that mission in Crossgar. People came from near and far because they were outraged that a Protestant church should be closed to the preaching of the gospel. And out of that mission, the Free Presbyterian Church was born. And I tell you, it was a hard and difficult birth. And it cost blood, sweat and tears. It cost people family associations. Many people, whenever they joined the Free Church, their families turned against them. Some of them were put out of their homes. We, in Ravenhill, in the late 50s, early 60s, and a young lady who was marrying one of our ministers could not or wasn't allowed to go home. Her parents gave her such a hard time that she couldn't go home. And so on Sunday morning she came to worship in the old Ravenhill Church, and then she came to us for lunch and stayed for the evening meeting and then went home. Those days, and that's just one case, other people were threatened to be put out of their home. I was working in a firm in Belfast, and when the boss of it, who was a Christian, found out that I was keeping company with this young fellow behind me, got very, very angry, and he said to another girl who was a Christian who worked in the firm, he said, "What is that girl Castles doing with that man Paisley?" And she says, "What's wrong with it? It's not illegal." And he's a single man and she's a single girl. And he said, "I can't stand him." And from that moment, that man, in whose eyes I could do nothing wrong, I was number one. And all of a sudden, I was down at the bottom. He didn't. He just turned against me for no other reason than the company I was keeping, which was not affecting my work nor anything to do with it, but just because of bitterness of spirit against God's servant. Well, as I said, we met in 1950, but we couldn't get married until 1956 because our church, the old Ravenhill Church, was just a little church, and they had no money and they had no manse, and so we had to play the waiting game, and we couldn't get married for 6 years. But it didn't do us any harm, and those years went in very quickly because my husband was conducting missions all over Northern Ireland and out of Northern Ireland as well. And during those years, a great number, there must have been thousands of people saved in those intervening years in missions that he was holding. And the next, I think, big, and then of course churches were springing up in various parts of Northern Ireland because people had realised what was going on, that their ministers were departing from the truth of God's word, and so they decided to separate themselves out of those churches and start Free Presbyterian Works in their own areas. And today those churches are flourishing. I'm thinking just at this moment of Ballymoney, and this will be their third building that they've had to build to house the people. I think here of Machaerfelt, you don't have to go outside Machaerfelt to think of the beginning and what God has done. And this is all, this is not man's work. It's not Paisley's work. It's not Paisley's church. It's God's church and it's God's work. And God will not leave his work or his church without a witness. I remember we had a children's mission a few years ago in the Martyrs, and the children were in the big church. We didn't have the complex then. And I was sitting beside a little boy, and he was running cars up and down, as we cars up and down the pew. And then he started to kick the pew in front, and I said to him, "Don't kick the pew, darling. Don't kick the seat in front." I said, "You know, this is God's house." And in his broadest Belfast accent, he turned round and he looked up at me and he said, "This isn't God's, this is Paisley's." So, some people, I think, have the same idea that the Free Presbyterian Church is Paisley's. But it isn't, it's God's. And we give God all the glory tonight for all he has done. We got married in October 56, and God graciously gave us three daughters and twin sons. And in 1966, there was a big fuss, and I'm not going into details because probably everybody here knows the details, but my husband, Mr. Wiley, and Mr. Foster were imprisoned. It was really under false pretenses. They were imprisoned for an unlawful assembly, which was not true. They were given permission to have a protest, and then the police were ordered to throw a cordon across the area where they were marching around. And then, of course, they were arrested for unlawful imprisonment. And they were imprisoned for 3 months, from July until October. They served the full 90 days in Crumlin Road Prison. My two elder girls were at school, and they suffered a lot of persecution from other pupils, because children can be very cruel one to another, and some of the teachers weren't very nice to them either. Cherith was just a few months old when her dad went into prison, and she broke her heart, and I had to stop taking her up to the prison to see him. She was, I think, 8 months old when he went in. And then in December of that year, the Lord sent us twin boys. And I remember Dr. Carl McIntyre sending us a telegram and saying, God has given you a double blessing. And so he did in the twin boys. And I'm glad to say that of my five children, I had the privilege of leading three of them to Christ. My eldest daughter, Sharon, my youngest daughter, Cherith, and Ian, the younger of the twin boys. My husband led Kyle to the Lord, and Rhonda was saved at a mission in the Ulster Hall when she was just about 7 or 8 years old. And I thank God for what God has done for us as a family, and how he has kept us and blessed us and made our children a blessing also. In 1967, there was a vacancy in the... there were elections to the Belfast Corporation. In fact, in 1966, when my husband was in prison, there was a by-election, and I stood for that by-election. And I was written up in the papers that I would come in a very poor third and lose my deposit. But I came in a very good second, and the unionist councillor nearly lost his seat. But in any case, that was just about 6 weeks before my twins were born. So that was quite a trial, a test in my strength at that time. And then in 1967, there was another general election to the corporation, or the city council as it is now, and I stood again and topped the poll in St. George's ward, and I was there for 8 years. And then I stood, of course, in Stormont, the Stormont Assembly and the Convention for East Belfast, and served there with my husband. I think we were the first husband and wife team ever to serve in a political forum. Then in 1970, my husband stood for election to Stormont and also to Westminster. And of course, the rest since then is history. 79, he stood for Europe, and for 25 years he served in Europe. During these years, the preaching was still going on. It never stopped him preaching. He kept on preaching, and churches kept opening. And you've only to look today to see how many churches we have in this short space of time in comparison to what other churches have done in the years that they have been in existence and the churches that have closed down. But all running alongside all this was the work in the church and the work in the college. And my husband and his father, of course, in the early days did a lot of work in training the young men for the ministry. We had the Reverend Wiley, the Reverend Maneri, Dr. Cook, Dr. Douglas, and all these men, it cost them to be Free Presbyterian ministers. Mr. Wiley sold his business to enter the ministry, and he too, of course, suffered privation. Mr. Maneri was the same. I remember Dr. Cook and Dr. Douglas. Of course, they weren't doctors then, they were just young men. And I remember them travelling up the country to the churches that were opening then, and they would take their bicycles, ride to the stations, or the station, wherever they were going, and then cycle to wherever they were staying. And it was a hard old time. And then whenever, I remember when Mr. Cook had married, his church couldn't even pay the rent. They couldn't buy him a house or pay the rent on the little house that he had. And these things are very hard, not just for the man of God, but they're hard on the wife and on a family as they come along. Dr. McRae was talking about Mr. Wiley. and some of the things he got up to. I remember he was in a nursing home and a lady there said to him, "Mr. Wiley, I have an awful lot of extra weight. I'm far too heavy. How can I lose weight?" And he said, "Dear, just shut your mouth." And that's not very bad advice. It's quite good advice. But, you know, when I look today at how many young people are at the churches, come to all the churches, it's a real thrill. We were in Ballymena a few weeks ago, and the Ballymena church was packed to capacity with young people. And when I thought of how few young people were in our church in the early days, to see them today, it's such a thrill for us to look at these young people and think just what God has done in their lives. Some of them are third generation Free Presbyterians whose grandparents separated from the churches they were in, and in many instances, as I've said before, suffered persecution from their own family. I was speaking then in 1969, my husband was in prison again, and it's not easy to see your husband in prison. It's one of the hardest things to go to a prison. I remember what struck me worst was the clanging of the doors and the turning of the keys. They made such an awful noise, it grated on me, and whenever I went home, that noise, the clanging of the gates and the turning of the keys, used to get in on me when I went home. But I couldn't sit down and weep. I might have felt like it. I had strong men came to my house. I remember the late Mr. Nicol, he was our clerk of session. I remember him coming to our house and sitting down and weeping. And I said, "Mr. Nicol, don't you start me crying, because if I start, I'll not stop. And I can't afford to cry because I have my children to think about." So I had to steel myself against this hardness and carry on for the sake of my children and also for the sake of my husband. I didn't want to go and see him looking all down at the mouth and weepy and wailey. It wouldn't have helped him anything either. So I had all these people to think about. And I was thinking too about my children, especially Sharon and Rhonda, dated everything in their young lives from before Daddy was in prison, when Daddy was in prison, when Daddy came out of prison. And we were staying down in Newcastle in a caravan, and they were playing with the other children. And some talk came up about their daddy or something that had happened. And one of the children said to the other little ones, "Oh, that was before my daddy was in prison." Quick as a flash, the other youngster said, "Was your daddy in prison too?" And my girl said, "Yes. What was he in for, breaking and entering?" So they said, "No, my daddy was in prison for doing what was right, because he had explained to the children before he went in why he was going into prison. And so they knew why he was there." But there's a funny side, there's a humorous side to all these things. And no matter how dark the day is, there's always a humorous side. And I think the humour that emanates from the Paisley side of the family and emanates from my side of the family seems to have come together and given us all a great sense of humour. And humour is a gift from God. I can say that out of experience. All down these years, it has been such a thrill to sit back and watch God working. Problems have come our way, and but every day we have committed our lives, the lives of our children, our own lives, the work of the church, all into the hands of the Lord. And the Lord is no man's debtor. He never once has let us down. Everything that we have needed, I can truthfully say God has supplied. My God, the Bible says, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And when you take that sentence together, there's an awful lot in it. His riches in glory. how abundant they are and how they meet our every need. He also says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's whenever you're in the midst of a battle that you realize your own weakness, but you also realize the greatness of God. And when you realize that his strength is indeed all sufficient for every need that you have. And I can look back over these years since the Free Church started. It was a privilege for me. I count it a privilege to have been in from the very beginning of this church and to see the hand of God at work, miraculously at work. I remember during the building of the Martyrs Memorial, we needed a lot of money. And my husband left a home for the late Dr. Bob Jones Jr., arranged meetings for him right across America, and he was away for 6 weeks preaching in order to raise money for the building of the Martyrs Memorial. And then again, and God supplied all the need for that. Then when we were building the Jubilee Church, God supplied all the need for that. He said to the people one Sunday morning, we need £1,000 a day for the next number of weeks or months,
a year,
to build this complex, the Jubilee complex. And the people thought, a lot of them said, he'll never get £1,000 a day for a year. And you know, that very week, we got check after check, money came in. I think we got about 8,000 that very first week. God supplied the need. And unless you had seen it happening, you wouldn't have believed it. But God did that. I remember during that time, the 6 weeks that my husband was away, my boys were just about 3-year-old. And I had a friend, she was a nurse, a student nurse at that time, and she used to come in and help me with them. And this night she was putting the boys in the chair, she was giving them their bath, and she said to them, you know, whenever my husband was away, my children, I suppose like most children, would play up on me. And they would run up, and when I put them to bed, they would come down. Mommy, I need a drink. Mommy, Kyle's hitting me. Mommy, Ian's tormenting me. Mommy, Cherith's running in and out my room. And there they were, all this, up and down the stairs. And I said to them, Jennifer said to them this night, there'll be no more running up and down the stairs after tonight. Why? She said, because your daddy's coming home. He'll be home tomorrow. Quick as a flash, Ian said, Daddy's coming home. I thought he was dead. Now, Jennifer told me about this, and she said, you know, part of me wanted to laugh, and she says, I did laugh at the funny side of it, but she said, the other side hit me. Has that little fellow been thinking that his daddy's dead and nobody has told him? And, you get the two sides of the story. And when these sort of things happen. But again, I just want to say that whenever you're praying for your husband or for your minister, I have to pray for him, for my husband, he is a minister. But when you're praying for your minister, do remember his wife and the children. Because if the devil is always attacking the minister one way or another, the devil will attack us. He hasn't changed his tactics. But if he doesn't get the minister, he'll turn on the minister's wife and he'll attack her one way or the other. Or he'll attack the children. Or he'll get other people to attack the children for him. Which reminds me of something which happened. I was speaking at a meeting in America and a lady came up to me afterwards, a young lady, and she said, I feel called to be a minister's wife. How did God call you to be a minister's wife? And I said to her, he got the minister to do it for him. So, the devil uses the same sort of things. If he gets somebody else, if he doesn't attack the wife or the children, he'll get somebody else. And very often it's another Christian he'll get to do the attacking. So we need to be aware of the devil's devices. And you need to pray for your minister's wife and for his family, that God will keep them. Because people love a minister to fall from grace, because it gives him a big juicy bone to chew on. And that'll spread the marrow of that old dirty bone everywhere in order to destroy God's work and destroy God's man. And they'll do the same. If they can't do it with him, they'll do it with his children. So you need to pray for all of them, just the way you pray for your own husband and your own children, that God will keep them. I have to do that every day. And my husband and I, every morning, first thing we pray together for ourselves, for our needs, spiritual, physical, mental needs. And God has supplied those needs in a miraculous way every day of our lives. And I can look back today and thank him and praise his name for everything that he has done for us. He is no man's debtor. And thank God this church is still going on with the grace and by the grace and help of God. And we pray that God will continue to increase it and to bring more and more people to Christ through the preaching of the gospel, which is the uppermost thing in the heart and mind of a man of God. May God bless you, and I hope I haven't kept you too long or spoken out of turn. But I trust that God will bless you and will keep you in prayer for the continuing blessing of God on his work throughout the world, not just in Northern Ireland, but right across the world, wherever we have church, that more and more doors will be opened for the preaching of the gospel, and that there might be indeed a great revival of salvation among sinners, and God's people being really blessed and strengthened. God bless you, and thank you.